This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I'm Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Timothy Harfield from Jasper, Georgia, and you're listening to a special Horse Husbands Only edition of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 24th, episode 1390.
I am a manly man who lives a manly life in my manly house with my manly wife.
And now, from the Man Cave at the Horse Radio Network, the monthly Horse Husbands episode starring Timothy Harfield of HorseHubby.com and America's Horse Husband, Glenn the Geek. This one is for you guys. No horse women allowed.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday morning. We appreciate you stopping by. Of course, you know the rules. If you're a woman, turn it off now. This is a men's only episode. No women allowed. You know, I say that every month, and every month we only have women listen, I think, is what happens. Because I get more comments from women than anybody else. I think our goal of only having horse husbands listen has failed miserably, Tim.
I don't know what to say.
We're trying, right? We're trying. We're here representing people.
It can be, you know, at the very least, a guilty pleasure. All the husbands are sitting in their man caves, drinking their beer, and listening to Horses in the Morning once a month.
To us.
On a Thursday morning.
That's right.
I don't know if men, dudes, you should not be in your man cave
drinking beer on 9 o'clock on a Thursday morning. That could be part of the problem, actually.
Right. Wait till the weekend and then go to the man cave and drink your beer.
Well, it's good to have you back, Timothy. Timothy is with us the fourth Thursday of every month, and we've been having fun doing these horse husband episodes. And next month, I think we could probably do it in person.
Holy smokes. You know what? You're probably right.
You know what? We could. It's going to be the 28th. We'll be in Lexington, Kentucky.
We'll be there. That'll be awesome. Live and in person from the Rolex, Kentucky.
We can just get a whole bunch of horse husbands, line them up.
Let's do it. Wow.
But today we have a lot planned. Tell us about what we have coming up today.
We sure do. So, you know, this is year of the listener?
That's right. Yep.
Year of the listener. And so we have listener husband Justin Andre, who is husband to auditor Carrie Whaley. Who was actually recently interviewed as part of a recent episode of Stable Scoop, wasn't she?
Yep, that's right. And she was a very popular guest on Stable Scoop. We had a lot of comments about her because she's so dynamic and she works her little butt off. So,
yeah, and she and Justin just have an amazing partnership, you know. So really looking forward to that interview. We also have Chris Raubacher, who is actually husband to y'all, if you don't know her by name, you know her by reputation and by art, Rebecca Raubacher. They both own and operate Animals to Wear. They make amazing t-shirts, amazing art. So we're talking a little bit about him and how they met and how they run the business and his role in the business. You know, in these entrepreneurial relationships, oftentimes the husband is the quiet supporter. So this is a great opportunity for us to pull him into the limelight a little bit and give him some credit that he most certainly deserves. And lastly, Glenn, we need help.
We do.
I certainly need help. I'm still trying to figure out
what I need help with.
Come up with, you know, functional fashion, but fashion in general. I go to horse shows and I'm that horse hubby. You can spot me a mile away. So we're going to talk to, you know, we're going to talk to my father-in-law, Rick Wallace, about a fashion trend that actually his working student has started, but also, you know, just in general, what we horse hubbies do wrong and what we could do right. So that's going to be really informative, really funny. So we're really looking forward to that.
I think it's kind of ironic that on the Horse Husbands episode, we're talking about fashion. It's very ironic.
You can all do better. You can all do better. And you know what? If you know, at a horse show, think about it this way. We want to be arm candy.
I was referred to all weekend as Mary Kitzmiller's accessory, or, you know, basically that. Yes, that's what I was referred to all weekend.
Maybe we should be talking to you about fashion tips, because clearly you're doing something right.
I just have logo wear. That's logo wear. I do have button-down logo wear, so that's something. But you know what? With my button-down logo wear, I could very easily go into what we're going to talk about later.
You sure could.
I could. I'm like halfway there, except for the jeans part. We're going to have to talk about that a little later, too. But yes, that's all coming up on today's show. We're so happy. We're brought to you by EquityMFG.com, and we're going to talk a little bit about that later on in the show as well. Tomorrow, I want to remind everybody, we'll be back with Jamie. We'll be here, and tomorrow, Really Bad Ads is back. I know you've missed it. We didn't have it last week because of Road to the Horse, but Really Bad Ads is back tomorrow, so get your ads into Jennifer at HorseRadioNetwork.com. Y'all live for that every week. It'll be back. So get your ads in. She needs a couple more. So go to Craigslist and find some crappy ads and send them to Jennifer.
Are you going to kick some ads this week?
Yes, we are going to kick some ads.
Serious ads. Right in the ads.
Good. That's pretty good. We're going to do that. But first, let's just go to our first guest. We have coming up a listener, and a listener's husband, actually, although he listens too because she makes him. His name is Justin Andre, and he is husband to Carrie Whaley, who is an auditor that we interviewed as part of our Listener of the Year on Stable Scoop, episode 394. And she's quite a dynamic horsewoman, an eventer, and trains a bunch of horses. Sounds a lot like you, actually, your situation. And Justin, we're going to find out about him right now. Welcome, Justin, to the Horse Husbands episode.
Hello, how are you?
Good. So good to have you on. Now, a couple weeks ago on episode 394 of the Stable Scoop show, we had your wife on, and she is an auditor of ours, listens to all of our shows. And it was so good as part of our Year of the Listener to talk to her. And we got such a good response. I said, well, now we got to talk to your husband and see if everything you said is true.
Well, I don't know about that. I heard the episode, and we'll see.
Was it all lies? Was it all lies, Justin?
No, it was fairly accurate.
She's a workaholic. My God, she sounds like Elisa, yeah. Like Timothy's wife. Trains 12 horses, no help. You know, and just is riding one horse after another all day. It tired me out just talking to her.
It tires me out watching her sometimes.
And you two have it tough because you live apart when she's down south, right, in the winter?
We do. And that has now evolved into a 3 month, 3 to 4 month deal when she's out of town. But I do get down there a few times, so. That helps.
Well, let's back up. You live in New York. That's where the farm is, and it's not tiny, Timothy. She told us it was what, 400 acres?
Holy smokes.
Yeah, approximately 400 acres.
Which just, you know, that sounds great to most horse people. We had 110 acres, and God, it's just a lot of work. So,
well, you have to do something while all of it. You can't just let it sit there.
Exactly. And even if it's just fencing, it's always breaking, and you have to, yeah, I mean, it's 2 miles to get there. So, yeah.
Yeah, and those pesky hay fields that somebody has to harvest that stuff too.
Yeah, and it wants to be done like twice a year. So I get it. I'm with you. I went through that experience, and it sounds great on paper. But so you grew up in a horsey family, didn't you?
I did. My father was an equine veterinarian, and my mother rode all her life. Fox hunted as a kid, did eventing. Pony Club wasn't around back then, or she might have done that too. So I've always been around horses, grew up with horses.
Did you want to marry a horsewoman, or were you growing up saying, I'm not going to marry a horsewoman?
I never really thought about it too much, and it just kind of happened.
Yeah.
You were on farmersonly.com thinking to yourself, I'll just take what I get. Existed. It could be anyone.
Oh, I think I did all right.
You did. I think you did all right, too. So, but and your family has a relationship to the horse community up there in New York. What part of New York?
Upstate New York, Rochester area primarily.
Yeah, and you really were involved in the horse world up there, right?
Yes. I can remember, as long as I can remember, being involved in most everything in the area in one way or the other. My parents moved here from Maine when I was maybe 3 or 4 years old, and I think they were involved in the earlier stages of Pony Club in the area, Walnut Hill back then, and eventing in the area, which from my recollection as I was a kid was, you know, Pony Club and the local Pony Club event, which that is sort of what evolved into the Stuart Horse Trials eventually.
And for those that don't know, Walnut Hill is one of the best or biggest carriage shows in the country every year. So there's a lot of people that descend upon upstate New York to see the carriages, and it's very popular.
Yeah, and that's a great show. And I've been, you know, I've been going there since I was a little kid, and probably and started working there summers picking up trash during the show, and for the past, I don't even know how long, 20, 25 years I've been on the ring crew there and continue to do that.
I have not been there yet, but you know, I know all the drivers, and Wendy and I are going to get up there one of these days to on the hill.
You need to go. That's a big deal. That's a lot of fun. That's a great show.
Yeah, we need to get up there. We do the driving radio show. We should be there.
Yeah, you should be there.
Yeah. I love
should
the
be almost mandatory.
And this is some Timothy's that, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen a driving show like this one, but they have a class, and it's absolutely my favorite class, is the commercial carriages where they have the old ice trucks and ice cream trucks. And
yeah,
milk
trade
trucks.
Commercials, a great division.
I
and after
love watching
sitting
those.
By the side of that ring for so many years, watching the same thing over and over again, I remember the first year we did that, and that was really neat.
They bring out the old fire trucks and just everything that was commercial, basically.
Yep. We actually had a fully functioning steam pump, horse-drawn steam pumper 1 year.
It's really, really cool class. Anyway, we're geeking out on driving stuff. So, so did you compete?
I did. I competed when I was in Pony Club. I did, you know, games and eventing and pretty much everything Pony Club had to offer.
Okay, Justin, before you go on, I'm going to stick with Pony Club for a minute, because all of us horse husbands that have figured out the horse thing by marrying into it said, if only we had known when we were teenagers to join Pony Club, because there's so many girls and they love any boy that's in Pony Club. Did you have 20 girlfriends?
No. I was a little kid.
Damn, don't ruin the dream for us. We're living off of that.
Actually, my Pony Club had a lot of guys in it. It was men.
That'd be
Pony
my
Club.
Luck. It'd be all guys.
They, well, I want to say that Men in Pony Club in its heyday maxed out around 80 kids, I think. And I remember being in Pony Club, and there were 5 or 6 boys at least.
Timothy, this ruins my fantasy of I being the only one as a 16-year-old with surrounded by 30 girls into horses.
30, but
sorry about that.
It's 30 girls into horses, right?
Well, yeah.
It doesn't matter how many dudes are around. The girls are actually into the horses.
Good point, Timothy.
Well, exactly.
So it's wishful thinking on the guy's part.
Good point. Well said. All right. Sorry, Justin. My fantasy's now
that's
blown.
Okay.
You can go on.
Sorry. Well, I did the Pony Club thing and then started eventing. I was fortunate enough that John Williams is local to this area, and was fortunate enough he actually taught most of the visiting ace stuff that my Pony Club did, and I went on to ride with him for a while, vented through training level, and then went off to school and discovered, we'll say, Greek life and beer and things like that, and it wasn't so much time for eventing anymore.
You guys have a lot in common, having the wives that are into eventing and having the large barns and the number of horses that are you two have so much in common. That's Timothy. That's why I wanted to get Justin on, because now ask away, because he's been doing this for longer than you have. You can see what you have to look forward to now.
Yeah. So
who's
so
been
Carrie,
doing it longer?
Justin, you have. Timothy's new at this. Only 2 years.
I'm absolutely new. I've been in this for 6 years.
He's a baby.
Only 6 years.
Lucky you.
But you've
Am
got
I supposed
so,
to tell
so,
you the truth or make
yeah, tell them the yeah, truth. Truth. Lay it all out there.
You know, just I'd rather know now than later. So
okay,
so you've got a barn of a 12 stall barn, and Carrie trains all the horses herself, and she takes care of all of the feeding and the mucking and all the maintenance and everything. Is that right?
Well, you're close, but it's more like two barns. Yeah, more than that. Multiple barns. I actually don't know how many stalls. The barn originally had 26 in it.
Of course you don't.
We've put in some... by the time I've added some grooming stalls and tack stalls, it's probably more than 12 still. But, yeah, she handles the horse end. Part of the deal when we got married and decided we're going to do this was I would not clean stalls. And I still don't clean stalls. I deal with fencing and trucks and tractors and hay and that kind of stuff and leave the horses to her.
And can I just sort of backtrack you? What do you do for a living?
I'm a civil engineer by education. I worked as a project manager for a large general contractor for a number of years. I'm still in that business, but more on a part-time situation with a smaller company.
Which provides you more time to do what?
The work?
And maintenance and other stuff?
Well, yeah, it got to the point where the farm was getting to be too much to try to do everything at once. And when you look at what it costs to pay people to do things that I can do myself, even with a decent salary as a engineer, it just made more sense for me to... take care of things on the farm. So we do, there's really not a lot we hire anybody else to do. We do all of our own fence construction, hay production, do all the maintenance on the trucks. We've got at least 3 tow vehicles on the road and multiple trailers, 3 or 4 tractors, construction equipment. It almost ends up being a full-time job just dealing with that kind of stuff.
Holy smokes. So this is not a hobby farm, is what you're telling me.
No, it's gotten to be well beyond that. I think when it changed was when we decided to do a horse boarding operation, and in this area you can't do that without an indoor arena. And they're not cheap. So it's sort of a go big or go home situation.
Timothy, it sounds to me like you're going to have to take some mechanic classes is what it sounds like.
Holy smokes. Okay, so I was going to talk about this later in the show, but, I finally convinced my wife that she needs to get a new truck. I'll talk about this later in the show as well. Suffice it to say,
sure.
Spoiler alert, trucks are expensive.
Trucks are very expensive.
Like, if you have an old truck, it costs so much money a year. If you have a new truck, it costs so much. Like, the truck is so expensive. I can't believe it. So I totally
understand.
Well, okay.
So let's test something here. What's your idea of an expensive truck?
And expect an expensive truck. So Elisa right now on her existing, it's an F-250. I want to say it's a 2003. She's paying between. Okay, so we're going to talk about dollars. So basically, okay, I'll just say, she's not listening. So it's like $7,000 to $10,000 a year to keep this thing on the road. And that's,
yep.
And that's brutal. And so I'm like, honey,
let's go buy a new one. Oh, they're $70,000.
Yes, that's exactly how much they cost. It is brutal. I walked in and I'm like, we'll get a new one. We'll get a payment. It'll be fine. No.
Yeah, $2,000 a month.
You have to put something on the truck to put the horses in, and that makes it even more.
Like, yeah. No, and she's looking at trailers at the same time. Like, it's unbelievable. Our arrangement, the business, the equestrian business is self-sustaining. It nets around zero. Like, that's great. Like,
if it's self-sustaining, it's doing well.
And they all do. And if you can hit zero, you're doing okay.
Yeah. That's a good year. That's an excellent year.
Yeah.
Hit that zero mark. Yeah, no, trucks, man. I can't. You walk in there, And they throw out those numbers like it's nothing, like, because that's what they are. Like, that's just how much what you're talking about is not a you're talking about an industrial piece of equipment.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you're towing horses, it can't fail. It's got to be kept in top condition. You can't take a chance with anything. And same with the trailer. My wife will drive, 6-8 hours to a competition somewhere. And when she's done, she'll get in the truck and drive home, and it doesn't matter what time of day it is. And that thing's got to run for her. It takes a lot of our time, and particularly with operating the facility in Aiken like we do, that's a lot of driving back and forth. I'm heading down there in a couple of weeks. This year I will have done the trip back and forth at least 4 times. And that's a lot of miles.
That is a lot of miles. But you say finally, how many years did Carrie do the barn work all by herself? For a long time.
I think we did at least 10 years before we hired anyone.
And that was just very recently, wasn't it?
Yeah, I want to say now 4 maybe years we've had full-time help, which is very, very difficult to find in this industry. You can't, as you know, horse businesses don't make a lot of money. You can't afford to pay a lot. But you need somebody who is responsible and cares and is going to show up to work, and you need consistency. You can't have people coming in and out. So, yeah, staffing a horse business is very, very difficult.
What sort of major differences did you... So we've just sort of brought on our first working student. Our biggest problem was we didn't have a place for them to stay. You know, housing is really important as a way of compensating your working student. It's important not only because it's a form of compensation, but also because it's nice to have them on site, to be close to the horses.
Absolutely.
And you know what? You start to feel guilty after they're sleeping in their back seat for a month. You know, so.
Housing? That's what
darn,
we have
Timmy,
right now.
I'm sorry, Timothy. I didn't mean to ruin that for you.
Having them on site is a huge issue, too. Traffic, weather, the horses, they have clocks in them and they know what time they need to be fed and it's got to be done. So if they're living on the property, you know they're going to be there.
What sort of differences in your own quality of life and your relationship with Carrie have you sort of seen since bringing on that additional help? Has that freed up time for you to spend more time together and to be more...
No, not really.
I
think you spoke with my wife and we take on more work.
Yeah.
We don't seem to be able to cut things back. And it's just the way we operate because we did it for so long, you know, by ourselves without help. When you bring on help, we're working side by side with that person. It's not like, you go clean the stalls and we're going to go out to lunch. It doesn't work that way.
Justin, that leads to a question. If money was not an issue, forget money. If money was not an issue and you could change one thing right now about your whole situation, what would you change?
That's a very good question. Probably not a lot, believe it or not. We are fortunate enough that we have, a pretty nice facility, and we are able to be pretty picky about our clients. We don't have to take people that we don't think are going to fit in well. We try very carefully to maintain an environment for our clients that is good for them and everybody gets along. I suppose if money were not an object, we could buy more fence material.
Right. Well,
have more horses.
This is the flip side of the question, right? So you have help.
What
does it allow you to do that you couldn't do before? How has it allowed your operation to scale?
Well, scaling the operation, I guess.
Or scaling your capacity.
We're pretty well maxed out, and it's a balance of, pasture space, stall space, hours in the day, how much hay we can produce on our own, how many lessons my wife can teach in a day, and keep the place going. I suppose if we hiring more help, I don't know that it would allow us to do a whole lot more than we do. It's a pretty good fit the way it is
right now. Carrie can teach more lessons, so the time that she would otherwise spend cleaning stall she can put towards more strategic
and profit making. Yeah, and I guess that has been a difference since we have had help, is that she can teach more lessons. She can ride more horses because she can just go boom, 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 horse to horse to horse, because she's got somebody else tacking them up and cooling them out for her. So that's helped. But as far as scaling, you know, this is our, it's a business, but it's our home. And regardless of how much help you have, we are still ultimately responsible for everything that goes on here. And, you know, you can only manage so much at the quality level that we want to maintain. I mean, it is a business, but it's our home, and we like things done a certain way and maintain a certain atmosphere. And when you increase capacity, there's things that go along with that. And sometimes you lose some of the details.
Yeah, this is when I think about scale, I think about it as being either extensive or intensive. And it sounds like bringing on extra work, it's allowed you to scale intensively, to focus more on the parts of your business that that really matter, right?
Yeah, and, you know, it's a horse farm. Horses are unpredictable animals. Now, if you look at our typical workload every day, it's manageable. But then you have what we like to call extracurricular activities pop in, which are the things you weren't really planning on happening, but they happen quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's the stuff that drives you nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where time gets lost. And the next thing you know, you're out spreading manure in the dark and things like that.
Well, thank you, Justin, for joining us. And it's interesting because now that I've done both of these interviews, I can see why you two get along so well, because you think a lot alike. And if anybody wants to hear the other side of this, go to thestablescoop.com and check out episode 394. And that's where you'll find Carrie's interview. But if you put the two side by side, I can't believe how you just see why you're married. it's perfect.
It works.
It works. It definitely works.
Well, it works. We have a good time, and we're able to do the things that we like to do.
Well, I hope that I can have a beer with you if we get up to Wollin Hill here one of these days.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Justin. And by the way, the website, why don't you give that out for the farm?
The website is, I think it's whaleyfarms.com, but honestly, go to the Facebook.
It's whaleyfarms.com. I'll help you.
Yeah.
It's W-E-H-L-E farms.com.
I think it would help you both if you sang it.
In a long time.
could we sing it together? On three. One, two, three. Whaleyfarms.com.
Oh, that would be a good jingle. Yeah, I could see that happening. But hopefully they hire somebody that's a real singer, though.
Please, we don't want to advertise. We have enough.
No more business, please. Thanks, Justin.
All right. You're welcome.
Jamie and I have been raving about the Equity Flex and Fork and Shake and Fork for months now, and some of you might be saying they are just saying all those nice things because they are getting paid to. Well, then, let's hear from some other people about what they think. Here is Flex and Fork user Eric Bates, Pasofino owner from Kentucky, on their sturdiness.
I've been using the Flex and Fork for almost a year now. I looked it up on the internet as being a quality-made fork, and that's what I was looking for. I had already replaced two or three, you know, the manure forks that you would get at a farm supply store, and I wanted something of good quality that would last, and this has just been more than I could ever ask for.
With the Shake and Fork, you save time and money by just using this motorized fork every day. Here is Leslie from Horse Nation on how much bedding she is saving using the Shake and Fork.
It really does. It helps you sift through, you know, so you're not throwing out as much. I think Equity says that the forks probably save you $1 a stall per day in between bedding saved and labor, you know, time you're saving, and I believe them for sure.
Okay, you have heard them. It's not just Jamie and I saying this. What are you waiting for? Go to equitymfg.com and get yours today. Equitymfg.com. You will thank us every single day. Well, we want to thank Equity for sponsoring the Horse Husband episode this year. We really appreciate it. Head on over to equitymfg.com to get your Shake and Fork or your Flex and Fork. you know, there is somebody that uses this. It's very popular in the horse world, and that's Stacy Westfall. And she talks about on her Facebook page about using this manure fork.
Well, hey there, Chris. Welcome to the Horses in the Morning radio show.
Oh, thank you. Glad to be there.
So you're a horse husband just like the rest of you. Rest of us, rest of us.
In fact, tonight, well, this morning, I was out with Becky's horse, who's having some issues, and I was out there for an hour this morning trying to take care of things, and then we worked all day, and then we're back out there tonight with the horse dealing with it. So, yes, very much involved.
But have been involved since, you know, almost the very, very beginning. The two of you are high school sweethearts.
That's true. We met down on Rehoboth Beach when we were both 15 years old. And we weren't dating then or seeing each other. We just were involved with other people. But then about 4 years later, both of us were in college. And we were back down at the beach, and we saw each other and down at the inlet, which is right here in Rehoboth. And I invited Becky to a picnic, and that was the end of it. Or the beginning of it, I should say.
I was hoping you'd correct yourself.
Absolutely
there,
the beginning of it. And I think we should explain a little bit about, you know, who Becky is. She's kind of a big deal, isn't she?
Yeah, she actually is. People don't realize in the horse world, Becky's been in huge shows in Manhattan.
To go back, Becky, she is, your company is Animals to Wear, and Becky is a really amazing artist. And in fact, I think most of our listeners, if not all of them, would recognize her art if they saw it. Can you just sort of describe that a little, describe her style so that our audiences can
pretty much in the horse world, you know, most people truly recognize her. She is basically working on course, you know, in front of the horses. She will not draw from photographs. She's out on course drawing the horses as they go by. It's called contour drawing and gesture drawing. And she had pretty much a classical education in drawing, and some of her instructors were European instructors, where she was in front of the models, and they had 20 to 30 seconds to catch the pose. And then Becky explained to me, and she said, you know, every day I would do this all day, and then I would go to the zoo in Washington afterwards and just sit there and draw the animals. And, you know, she started drawing when she was 4 years old. So, one thing she said, they made a little movie of her, and she said, if I could draw it, I could have it. And I always thought that was just such an incredible statement. You know, so that's how she really got involved with this. And she started riding when she was 4 and a half, and then every day she'd come home and sit there and draw the horses that she'd been on all day. So, it just didn't happen overnight. It's something she's been working on her whole life.
And it's such an engaging style. Like, for people who aren't familiar with different artistic styles, it's very sort of, it captures really a lot of motion. It's very fluid. There are a lot of lines. So
yeah, it's true.
And she doesn't actually lift her pen while she is capturing the moment, does she? It's all.
No, she really doesn't. You know, when she goes like at Rolex, when she goes out on course to draw, she basically doesn't look at the paper. It's just amazing. She is watching the horse and is drawing at the same time. And so what she has is, you know, she has a spotter with her, and they will tell her, you know, which horse is coming through, who the rider is, the number, and you know, Becky will do the drawing, and then after she's done, she will record on the bottom of the paper, you know, who it was and the horse. So, but it's basically done on course and live, and that's how she's always worked.
I met her first during WEG, I think, was in 2010. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I think that's when she was on the show with us. And I remember sitting in the stadium. We were for some reason, I ended up sitting in the stadium beside her watching something. I don't know. It was 16 day, long days. I don't remember. But I remember watching her work, and I was just so impressed with, one, how fast she is. And two, that you're right, that she didn't look down. I was like, how did she not look down?
Well, I asked her about that many times, and she says, I've trained my eye. You know, I have worked, and I've totally trained my eye that I can just sit there and see it and then record it. And you know, a great story is right after Rolex, Becky was invited to badminton to go over there and draw the horses. And we'd gone over right after Rolex. And we were in stadium, and she's sitting in stadium drawing, and I'm with my daughter and Becky and I. And there's this lady sitting next to me, and she's watching Becky draw. And she truly understood what was happening. And she's like, oh, my God. And I said towards the end of it, I said, would you like to see the drawings? She said, I would love to see the drawings. And she looked through them. And then she goes, would you like to see the castle at badminton that belonged to the Lord? And I said, yes. And she was like, well, I can do that. My husband's in charge of the 120 horses for the Lord here at badminton. And she had a stretch golf cart waiting for us and took us up to the castle. We went through the whole thing.
Oh, wow. How cool is that?
it was so cool. And my daughter was like, Dad, this is just awesome. And we had such a good time. But it was the drawings that got the people involved, you know? And that's, you know, that's the key to our business. It's, you know, and then she applies it to the apparel. And basically we started selling apparel, you know, years ago when Becky would just draw on my kids' shirts, you know, and both my kids wrote. And then people were kind of always coming up and wanting to buy them. And so that's how kind of Animals to Wear really started.
I remember, too, it really became popular at the WEG. She was in the Bit of Britain.
Yeah, it did.
She was in the Bit of Britain booth, if I remember right, and just everybody was talking about this. And I think that's how we got wind of it, because we were doing the World Equestrian Games radio show, and just everybody was talking about it, and we had to go seek her out and find out what everybody was talking about.
No, the WEG was unbelievable for us. And
I think you ran out of a lot of things, actually, if I remember right.
Oh, my God. I was supplying four other vendors at the WEG. I went to every one and tried to buy product back because we were running out. They would not sell to me, which I understood. And I brought four loads in UPS, ran out. And so then towards the end, I called Ryan, who worked for us. I said, Ryan, go to the warehouse, fill the truck, and start driving towards Kentucky. Becky and I will start driving towards Maryland. And wherever we meet, we'll change the load. And he says to me, well, what should I bring? I said, anything.
Everything.
Everything. So we met in Cumberland, Maryland at like 3 in the morning, exchanged everything. We drove back, filled, because at the WEG, you had to fill everything up before 7 in the morning, reload. Did all that and sold out of that. It was just incredible, you know? And the WEG did. It changed the whole business. There's no doubt about it.
I think John was happy he had you in the booth.
John was. And, you know, and I, John and I have had a great working relationship for the last, you know, 15 years. And John put us in the front of his booth, which was awesome. Because we, you know, we had the visual draw, and it was good for John. It was good for us. It truly was.
So
I'm ready. I'm ready for another WEG in Kentucky.
It's gonna come.
I'm interested, Chris. So you know, we've talked a lot about your wife, who's an exceptional artist, and we can't sort of underline that enough. but the two of you run the business together. Just wondering how do you divide the business? How do you work together? What's your role in the business's success?
Well, it's a great question. And right now we're really going through that because we're getting ready for Rolex. So every day, Becky and I are dealing with this. So we're going over orders. You know, how much product do we get in? Whose product do we get in? We deal with Carrots a lot. And we have an awesome relationship with Carrie at Carrots. So Becky's in the process, like right now, she's building the 2,300 shirts for Rolex. So she has been doing the drawings and looking at them on the shirts and making sure it's right. And those things go out to our printers, and they're beginning to work on that. But I'm probably sending 10 to 12 new images to our printers right now that they have to burn into the screens, start to print, and then they will do prototypes. And then Becky will go to the warehouse where the printers are and say, you know, yes, that works. No, that doesn't work. We have to add a color here, or delete a color there, you know, move the image up or down the product. And that's where we are right now. And we're working totally together on that. I am in the process of, you know, I've got the guys that work for me who are loading racks of apparel, framing paintings, getting everything ready. Drawings are getting photographed. So it's really a lot of work and a big deal. And it takes all of our time.
When did you decide to go both feet into this business? Was that always the ambition, or was it the two of you were doing something else? And how did you make the shift?
Yeah, the shift was made. No, we didn't decide this is the business we wanted to do. We'd owned an art gallery and a fine framing business for years. Becky had been in few shows in Manhattan and up in New York and stuff. But again, Becky was doing the shirts for the children at our local riding stable, and everybody wanted them. So, you know, then we started the silkscreen some and did a few small shows and just took off. And then we went down to Atlanta to do a trade show down there, and we met Austin Kerr, who for years has run Rolex and the Lexington Horse Park. And Austin came up to us and said, "My God, this stuff is incredible. You guys need to come down to Rolex." So she hooked us up, and we went that year. And we're talking 22 years ago. And that's what really started the whole process, you know? And it just slowly took off. We didn't jump in overboard at the time. But we just every year kind of ramped it up a little bit. We still had our other two businesses who were running, but this just started taking off. So when we always said when the children were both through colleges and had their jobs and stuff, they would close the art gallery and just do this. And basically, that's what's happened.
Well, I met you guys at Red Hills a couple of weeks ago for the first time. You know, the artwork is unmistakable, and it was just really amazing to have the opportunity to meet not only Becky, but also you, Chris. And it's really great to learn about the business, how it's grown, and how the two of you have sort of grown up together and functioned so effectively as a partnership. So thank you so much for being on the show and sharing your story with us. You know, I think it's inspirational, certainly inspirational to me, and I'm sure inspirational to the rest of our audience. I'm so looking forward to seeing you at Rolex. I don't get to go to as many shows as I would like to, but I'll certainly be at Rolex, and I'll be I'll look for you. I'll find you. And I won't be able to not find you because you'll be surrounded by these t-shirts.
You won't be able to get in the booth anyway. So
right.
The booth, I mean, I have 12 people working at Rolex. it's just a zoo for us. And so I'd love to see you guys come and see us. And I look forward to Rolex just for the fun of being at Rolex.
Oh,
besides,
yeah.
Hopefully,
I agree.
Making some money. But Rolex is just a happening thing. And
it's just the atmosphere,
it truly is. And it's, for a 3-day event, that is the greatest venue in North America. It's just that simple.
AnimalsToWear.com is where you can find what we're talking about. If you have no clue what we've been talking about, you've been living under a rock, head over to AnimalsToWear.com and climb out from under the rock. Yeah, and do that today. Thanks, Chris.
Take care. Thanks so much.
On to this brand new ranch. It was owned by a bunch of fancy pants, but they did have several high dollar trucks and trailers. Well, there was barns and pens. It was under construction, and I was informed by phone I'd receive my instruction in a video arriving in a padded mailer. It said, sort the cows in pen 11, then bring us a tag so we can scan them. And I didn't have a clue, but I took a sack full of them to headquarters. There was a lady at a computer typing in numbers, and the more she typed, the more I felt dumber, and she said, yep, 501's too old, gotta go back and sort her. I replied, I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. I don't know where I just landed, scroll me back to where I'm from, cause I don't need no printout telling me that it's time to wean. Never seen a calf pulled by a machine, and this information highway keeps my pony sore and lean. I ain't no cowhand.com. Well, my security pass / photo ID opened the gate and picked out a horse for me, and you punch in a code and it start an automatic feeder. Of course, you still had to step over what them cows was downloading, and you did a hair analysis with a digital modem, and put a cow up on the screen, it'd tell you which bull's gonna breed her. Well, then they give me this laptop from my saddlebags, and it got dusty out riding drag, and I knew the boss was gonna have my hide. Well, they said, just boot it up, open the windows, something about a mouse and a bunch of menus, so I hauled off and kicked it. I kept the windows closed because it was freezing outside. I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. I don't know where I just landed, scroll me back to where I'm from, because I don't need no printout telling me which stall to clean. Never seen a horse shod by a machine, and this information highway keeps my pony sore and lean. I ain't no cowhand.com. Well, then they start talking downsizing and linking up. I told them I was heading for the tall and the uncut. They could stick that Pentium right in their AOL. There's faxing emails and hazing the web, and they even had a megabyte RAM. That sounds inbred. I reckon those people wouldn't know the difference between a hard drive and a paper trail. I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. Don't need no information highway to get back to where I'm from. And I don't need no printout telling me which colt is green. Never seen a bronc broke by a machine. Besides, this little cell phone just don't fit good in my jeans. I ain't no cowhand.com. I ain't no http://, all one word, all little letters, www.cowhand.com. Yep, that's what you get when you try to cross one of them computers with a cowboy.
Well, I'm really excited to welcome my father-in-law, Rick Wallace, and his student, Brig Surratt, on the show. Neither of them is a horse husband, technically speaking. But what they do have, and what I think we can all learn from, is a tremendous amount of fashion. When we were at Red Hills International Horse Trials, I wrote a post for horsehobby.com featuring a style that they have really tried hard to bring into vogue, which is this tie tucked into a shirt. They're very stylish people. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that. Welcome to the show and get their thoughts on all of the ways in which us horse husbands dress inappropriately. So Mr. Briggs Surratt, I understand that it was your idea to start tucking your tie into your shirt. Can you tell me a little bit about where that idea came from, that flash of inspiration?
Well, I won't say I came up with it, but I use it more in everyday attire. So if you're walking around a horse show, you'll see a lot of men in their riding clothes, their whites, and they typically might have their white tie tucked into their shirt, because when you're working on horses, having a dangling tie is not always the easiest to move around. So now that's where I really first started, was at horse shows. But then I started college last year in the fall, and I started wearing ties to school. And then one day I decided I want to wear a tie to the barn, and the best way to wear a tie at the barn is tucking it in. So,
and this is really catching on. So at Red Hills, you know, I know that Rick has been sporting this look. I didn't have a tie on me, otherwise I would be sporting it. I saw several others doing it. And in fact, you caught the eye of Philip Dutton and Boyd Martin, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, this was Rick. It was real interesting. I walked into the competitors' night tent, and Briggs was ahead of me, and I heard Philip yelling, "Rick, Rick, Rick." And so I turned around and came over, and he just started going on and on about Briggs and the young riders we have and how well they dressed and how he was spot perfect for his look, and that he wanted to know how he can get all his young riders start wearing that outfit. And I don't know how many guys he has, but
about a million. Yeah. So,
you know, it was a good compliment. And then Boyd chimed in, and then we brought Briggs over, and they clambered up and shook his hand and just kind of were giggly, and it was fun, and gave Briggs a boost in confidence, I think.
Does Boyd own a tie? Picture. Yeah, does Boyd own a tie, by the way?
I don't know. I don't know if he owns a belt, to tell you the truth. I just saw Boyd tonight. I love Boyd to death, but I walked in, and he had his riding clothes on, and his hands were dirty, and he didn't have a belt on. I was like, hey, Boyd.
So is this a look that would work for like a horse husband like me? So without looking like I'm trying really hard to
like
fit in.
Being a faker. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the interesting thing is Briggs wears it every day to the barn. And it's spreading, because we have a 9-year-old boy there that is now sporting the same thing. Briggs also wears flat hats. And he has about, I don't know, a collection of 10. So his look is really being cultivated also from our trip to Blenheim. And we were dressing, a lot of people thought we were Europeans because we dressed kind of like that. I don't do the flat hat, but Briggs does.
It takes a certain person to pull that off, I think.
You're right. It absolutely does. I mean, we pulled into Carolina Horse Park tonight, and he had his flat hat on and his tie tucked in, and the guy was Irish that was checking us in with the trailer, and he's probably in his, I don't know, late 60s, early 70s, and he just started saying, you know, "You look sharp, where are you going, what's going on?" So we get that everywhere. We get into McDonald's, we get it, because we have our Ovation tall boots on, and Briggs goes to school in his riding clothes. He's going to college in his riding clothes so he can get back to the farm.
I am going to have to dig out my Bugs Bunny tie for Rolex now.
There you go. And tuck it in.
Tuck it in.
And it's going to, you can pull it off. It's actually,
Don't you remember the old thing that they used to do? You guys got to remember this. You go to lunch and everybody would throw their tie over their shoulder.
Oh yeah, I did, because I lived in a suit for 20 years.
It was a big thing in the 90s. I mean, yep. All of a sudden everybody's throwing their tie over their shoulder.
Because you always got crap on your tie when you're eating lunch.
Why didn't we just tuck it in?
I don't know. That's a good point.
So we've talked about this. Yeah. This looks great, and I love this look. And I'm next horse show I go to, I'm definitely going to sport this look, if for no other reason than to fit in. But I think it's something that can really catch on, and it's something that looks good for everybody. So we've talked about something that looks really great. Now let's talk about, let's sort of flip the coin a little bit and talk a bit about what looks terrible. You can spot a horse husband a mile away, can't you, Rick?
Yeah, you can. And you know, the deal is, I think there's a lot of things wrong when you see them coming, but you just kind of, you have to let it go because they are there. They're doing their part. But I think what they don't realize is you can look dirty with nice things on and look better, or look dirty with bad things on and look worse. So I don't know what you want to do.
So how could we get better? You know, Glenn and I, we have this idea. Maybe we would all look better if we started wearing those fishing shirts, the ventilated fishing shirts. Would that help?
No. You look like you're about to parachute out of somewhere.
That's a lot of pockets, though. They're really handy.
Look at all the old guys, and I'm like, old guy, you've got to figure it out because you're wearing this ventilated shirt. But I think you
got to be comfortable, right?
Yeah, I mean, isn't that why we all wear, you know, T-shirts and dirty jeans?
But all you got to do is put the T-shirt on and then throw on any kind of shirt, long sleeve shirt. You can roll up the sleeves. They look really cool rolled up. Throw on any tie of collection. It doesn't matter if it's ugly. I mean, it could be the worst tie that everybody hates. But when you tuck it in, it's almost like it draws people's attention. Go, that's a really cool tie, when it's actually really freaking ugly. But, you know,
you could use old stained ties because they don't see the stained part.
It's not stained, exactly. It's mottled.
It's what?
It's mottled. And, it's aged.
And I'm telling you, you don't look as dirty anymore.
Isn't that funny?
Now, I don't know what to do about the jeans. I mean, typically I would say go to a khaki and not wear jeans. You know, I would switch it to any kind of all different kind of khakis. I mean, y'all can do that. The darker, the better, because you don't show dirt. But I would throw away the jeans. Jeans are out right now.
That makes sense, because the jeans actually get pretty hot.
My closet's going to be empty.
Briggs, do you agree jeans are out?
I do agree. I stopped wearing jeans about 2 years ago. I've gone straight to just wearing chinos all the time. Mm-hmm. I have.
So Briggs, and not to cut you off, Briggs used to look like a horse hubby. I mean, he was 14. He wore his shirt untucked. His hair
I think
was
we have a new
un-
insult.
Oh, he used to look like a horse hubby.
Okay, we need to change
but,
that.
You know,
all right, I'm cutting that out.
I used to make fun of him. I told him he used to wear mama jeans. And he goes, what are mama jeans? I said, the ones you got on. So those changed quick. You can't have like baggy jeans, especially if you don't have a butt. You can't wear baggier jeans just to show that you really don't have a butt.
You can't just cover the problem up.
No, you need to trim it down and show at least whatever lines you do have.
What about footwear?
I can't believe we're having this whole conversation on the Horse Husbands episode.
I need help, you know, Glenn. You know, it's a struggle,
Timothy,
to know what to wear.
Your assignment by next week is to get a picture of you in this look. I'll get a picture of me in this look, and we'll post them.
Done.
All right, I'll dig out one of my old Bugs Bunny ties, and we'll do that. All right.
Footwear. Closing thoughts. You know, you like those. Can a horse?
Hey, I'm not giving up my sneakers. I'm sorry, guys.
What are we doing? Sneakers?
I'm not giving up my sneakers. I tried cowboy boots, and I couldn't handle the blisters.
No, you can't do cowboy boots. I would say go to the Ovation or the rubber boot or the Ovation boot. They're actually very comfortable. I've gone through about 25 pairs of Paddock boots over the years. Well, more than that, but they wear out really quick.
We've
had these Ovations since last August, and they are still going strong.
Do you wear the tall ones? The tall ones, you mean?
Everywhere. Yeah. Yep.
What I like about the tall ones is that they're waterproof. They're like the poor man's. It's like they used to say the Hyundai was the poor man's Honda. You know, these are the poor man's. What are the fancy ones?
Dewberries.
Thank you.
Yeah,
yes.
They're the poor man's dewberries, but they're waterproof. And I remember when we were at.
By the way, thank you for this, guys, because Ovation's a sponsor. I appreciate you doing this.
Oh, no, they're fantastic. Because I remember
I love Ovation. My
ankle boots. And I remember being in England, and Elisa and Rick and Briggs were walking the course, and they all had these tall boots, and they could just walk through the water like nothing. And I had to sit.
Well, look, and I'm going to plug Ovation again. I'm telling you, we wear them all day long at the barn. We put on our riding boots when we have to, and we take them back off and put those on. We do the stalls in them. We go out to the paddocks. We walk through all kinds of stuff, through the mud, and you just wash them off. You make sure you double waterproof them before. I think Briggs forgot to do that, didn't you, Briggs? And they kind of break down a little bit. But look, it's just a matter of being comfortable in your own skin, putting your pants into the boots and walking around. But I tell you, you'll turn heads and people will think, look at that classy man walking by. That's what's going to happen.
If only I knew that when I was trying to date, might have helped.
Well, you know, your job is never done. You've got to continue to do what you can do.
Glenn, next time I see you, I'm going to think to myself, look at that classy man walking by.
Rick and I actually met for the first time at Rolex a couple of years ago. You remember that?
Yeah, I sure do.
That's where we met. Sure, so I'm looking forward to seeing you this year. Looking forward to.
I am too.
But maybe maybe Timothy and I will be dressed better. I'm not promising, but.
I think we need to get some horse hubby ties.
Designate one day, and you should do the horse hubby ties, and then you designate a day to wear it, and you do it at Rolex.
Well, I did get Timothy. I did get my horse hubby T-shirt, which I'm very proud of.
How is it? I like them.
Yeah, I like it too.
I thought they were really great.
We should challenge the horse husbands to wear the T-shirts, go outside, and get a picture taken in that exact pose with the bridle and the manure fork. So
that's a good idea.
I think that's
with a
good
idea. With a shaken fork in one hand.
Yeah, that's right. With a shaken fork in one hand. Hey guys, thank you. We have to run. We appreciate you, and we're gonna we'll see you at Rolex.
Awesome. Look forward to it.
All right. Take care, guys. Well, I wanted to mention that we're going to put that picture that you were talking about with Boyd and Philip. We're going to put that picture as the show notes picture, so you can find it at horsesinthemorning.com and also on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. And you can also find that article, right? Tell everybody where they can find the article you wrote on the fashion trends.
You can find the article at horsehubby.com. It should be one of the more recent articles and shows lots of great pictures. So in case you can't visualize it for yourself from the radio show, you can see some up close images of what it looks like in real person and just how versatile the look is. Any tie, any shirt, doesn't matter, looks great.
You know what this did remind me of? It's funny that he mentioned about the Irish guy, right? It did remind me of the look that you have. If they had kilts on, it would even look better.
Done. Rolex.
My wife's always wanted me to get a kilt, by the way. You know, I did play a king for 10 years when we had our acting company. So maybe you and I could sport the kilts when we go with our tucked in ties.
Well, you know where the phrase the whole nine yards comes from? You probably.
Yes, that's a kilt.
Is the kilt.
It's 9 yards long. That's right. I'm going to get one that's already pre-done because I don't think I could do the whole rappy thing right.
Uh-uh.
I think I'd be losing my kilt before the night was over. And nobody wants to see that. So now we would one up them if we showed up in kilts, wouldn't we? Rick would be surprised. You would impress your father-in-law.
That would be a whole other blog post.
Yeah, I wonder what your wife would say about that. Actually,
she would say no.
We're back to the fishing shirts, Timothy.
Exactly.
Well, thank you everybody for stopping by. Remind everybody where they can find you.
You can find me on the web at horsehubby.com as well as on Facebook at facebook.com/horsehubby and Twitter at horsehubby.
Everything horsehubby.
Just Google horsehubby and you will find, not me, Glenn, you will find us.
And I meant it about the T-shirt. I'm going to go out and I got my horsehubby T-shirt. Are they still available?
They're not available, but they will be available again very, very soon.
I got it. I love this T-shirt, so I'm going to wear it, and I'm going to go out in the same pose as this, and I'm going to take a picture in my shirt in that pose. and I'm going to be using my shake and fork or flex and fork, and I'll post it on the Horse Hubby site.
Epic.
All right, cool. I think everybody that has one should go do that. And, of course, you can follow us at horsesinthemorning.com. Don't forget, get your really bad ads in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Put really bad ads in the subject line and copy and paste the entire ad into the email. We have a great prize for you this week or this month, so definitely get those ads in. We do need a couple yet, like there isn't enough bad ads in the world. And you can find all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network on our app. Just go to iPhone or Android and search for Horse Radio Network in the App Store. It's free and it's easy to use. That's it for today. See you, Timothy. Actually, we'll see you at Rolex.
See you at Rolex.
Yay, in our ties.